Unbranded Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie Dean. I'm so grateful to have you on this journey with me. And by journey, it's a journey of self-discovery, of learning about others, reigniting the passions I've long had but never had the time to dive into until now. If you're here, I'm sure you also have an interest in plant magic, living in alignment with nature, spirituality, and the magic that surrounds us that we don't see but works constantly in our lives. And I'm sure you also consider yourself a little bit woo-woo. So sit crisscross applesauce, cleanse your space, set up your diffuser with some oils that uplift you, and enjoy while we have interesting conversations with interesting people on Unbranded with Susie Dean.
It's me. It's Thursday night, and I don't know where this episode is going to go. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I don't know how this is going to end. This is kind of impromptu. I was supposed to have another episode lined up for today, but that's not happening. So you get me. Amazing. And a lot of stuff is getting ruffled up and swirled up in my life. Both in, well, I don't want to ascribe good or bad to it, but there are many things going on. If you have not been following along with my stories and the sagas on my Instagram, I just got back from Utah for Young Living's convention, and it was fantastic. A lot of things happened really strangely to create the most perfect situation. So I was planning to go to convention, which is, okay, so convention is the annual Young Living, like, event. They drop new products. They have, like, guest speakers. We hear from the scientists. We hear from corporate. We hear from Mary Young, the CEO, people who rank up in my MLM business get recognized. I got to walk across the stage for my own rank achievements over the last year, and it's a good time. And it all ends at the farm in Utah in the lavender fields where they grow the lavender that ends up in the bottles in your home. And it's a beautiful sight to see. Ningxia is flowing. There were Ningxia slushies. There were Ningxia floats. There was Ningxia shots of different kinds. There was Ningxia with Ningxia Nitro, with Ningxia Zing, with like a splash of orange juice. It was so much fun. There was jousting. And there was a beautiful, beautiful lavender field with a backdrop of the mountains, which was just chef's kiss. So I had been planning on going to convention for many, many months. And I planned pretty early to stay at the hotel that was connected to the convention center. And I did that because convention was, I mean, at first I was like, well, I don't really have any choice. I need to stay at a hotel. I need somewhere to stay. But a couple weeks later, our friend Marlo, who I didn't actually meet until this trip, but we had been friends on the internet, and she was mutual friends with a lot of my friends, reached out and said, hey, I know that you're staying at a hotel, and I know that you're like an introvert, but I just moved into this new house in Utah with my husband. It has like 5 bedrooms or however many. A ton of people are staying here. A lot of my friends were staying here, and it would be really convenient if you decided to stay here. Like, you're more than welcome to come. It is fine to stay at a hotel, but it's always nice to come back to a home at the end of the night. So just know that the offer is there, and we would be so happy to have you. And I thought that was so nice, but I was like, no, I'm gonna be in Utah away from my baby with a lot of socializing and a lot of people and a lot of activities for a week. And I know that I'm an introvert, and I know I'm going to get burned out, and I know that I'm going to need my alone time, and I'm going to want time at the end of the night to like get some work done based on what I'm learning. So I politely declined just because I didn't want to be in a situation where I was around people all day talking, socializing, doing things, and then coming home and being around people all night and not really being able to catch a break. So I politely declined. A couple weeks later, she brought it up again and was like, you can take walks. There are beautiful walking paths. You can sit outside. I have a huge porch. You don't need to be bothered whenever you need quiet time. So like, why don't you just stay the first night just to see everybody and get comfy, cozied in, save a night and fly in and we'll pick you up from the airport. I was like, all right, fine. I can stay a night. I'll stay a night and I'll go to the hotel for the rest of the four nights. And then, like 2 days, maybe even less, it might have been the day before I left for Utah, she speaks to me again and says, listen, I know that you're an introvert. I know you need your alone time, and I totally respect that, but I just want to tell you again, if there is any part of you that wants to save money on a hotel, that wants to be with friends, that wants to hang out with us, that wants to consider this, we have an extra spot in our house and we would be so happy to have you. And logically, the answer is absolutely not. I know that if I don't get adequate alone time, I'm moody, I'm on edge, I'm super stressed, I'm very anxious, and everything kind of just gets all spun up. It's like most of the time I'm tightly wound, but not necessarily in a high-strung way, more in like a, I know what I'm doing, these are my routines, I'm on top of it, I'm getting things done, I'm efficient, I'm productive, I'm happy, my mood's in line, my sleep's in line, my energy's in line, like everything is just routines and Susie. The routines create the Susie we all know and love. And when that routine is disrupted, that Susie we know and love is no longer there or is just a shell of herself. So despite knowing that every single time in the past that I have chosen to be with friends over having alone time has led to chaos and stress, I said, okay, fine. Fine. She asked me 3 times to stay with her. She must really want me to stay with her. Maybe it's possible that she's not just being nice. And my friends that I'm going to be hanging out with most of the time anyway are going to be there. And maybe it would be good to be with friends. I mean, at that point, I was kind of like making excuses. I was like, well, it could probably be good for this situation. Like, there's a reason this keeps coming up in my face and that she keeps bringing it up and my friends keep bringing it up. So I didn't really have any reason to say yes, knowing myself, but I did anyway. And the day before I left for Utah, I canceled my hotel, which saved us a fat chunk of money, and told Marlo, fine, you're going to be partying with Susie for the next week. I hope you're ready. I'm actually coming. And that ended up being the best thing I could have done. And isn't it funny how you look back on decisions that you made that were so seemingly stupid or not, just like not logical, and they end up being the perfect thing because you listen to that little whisper of a voice deep down. You guys know or can probably guess why this was such a good decision, but I'll do the other stuff first. So one, it was a great decision because I saved a lot of money. I didn't have to pay for the hotel. I didn't have to Uber anywhere. And a lot of our meals were made by or given to us by our friends Marlo and Ryan. And I was staying in a house of like, I think there were 15 total people in the house. And that was just fun because, you know, it's really, it's just like hanging out with friends. Like I knew most of them. The ones that I didn't knew, I quickly became friends with. We're talking, gossiping, sharing business strategies. I'm learning what to expect. We're laughing. We're sharing intimate moments and getting close. You know, how girls do in a house full of girls and two boys. I was able to drive to or be driven to convention every day. And everything was just kind of like buttoned up and I knew what to expect. And it was really great. We got to hang out with a lot of friends that we have that work at corporate. And I was able to experience some more of Utah that I wouldn't have been able to experience otherwise, whether that was different restaurants or different areas, and go on walks and, you know, nice stuff. It was good. It was a beautiful home. It was beautiful grass. It was beautiful mountains in the distance. It was a beautiful neighborhood. It was beautiful people. And then, oh, and plus, like, getting ready every night for every event with a whole bunch of people, like, that's a dope 10. And then, I believe it was Friday, was when the internet broke or whatever happened. And I woke up and trains, like, stopped moving, planes were grounded, people couldn't find other people. I'm not explaining this right. Can you tell I'm still sleep deprived? Everything went to shit, basically. I was like, oh my gosh, it's so weird. It's like a sci-fi movie. None of this, like, the internet's breaking. What is the world going to do when the internet isn't here anymore? Are we going to be able to survive? I wasn't that worried. I was mostly just like checking in and seeing what was going on. But because I had a plane going out on Sunday, and it was Friday morning, so I thought it'll probably be fixed by then. 2 days? 36 hours? Fast forward, and we see around us Sunday, or Saturday, probably more like Saturday afternoon, that's what it was. We have 15 people in the house that are all taking planes back home. And the cancellation and delay notices start rolling in. And we're buckling up and I'm like, I'm next. It just felt like I'm next. Why wouldn't I be next? We're all flying Delta. And Sunday rolls around and my flight leaves at 11:39. And I wake up, nothing. There's no cancellation. There's no delay. Things are good. Okay. So I'm just going to pretend like I'm going to be going out today and treat it as so. I'm not going to, even though everything's said, your flight's going to get delayed or canceled. I was like, until I hear it, it's not happening. I think I'm probably delayed like 20 minutes, you know, not a big deal. Pretty normal, par for the course. But during the morning, as I'm getting ready and on the car ride over, what I do notice is that the plane that is coming from Orlando to Utah to drop people off and pick people up from Utah has not left the ground yet or has not even boarded. But I have not gotten any more delays. I just know that they're coming. But again, I have no reason to believe otherwise. I get to the airport. Print my bag tag, stand behind Katherine Heigl, which was a cool sight to see. Did sneak a picture of her. Did not want to bother her. She was with her family. Please, I'm not going to do that. But I did grow up loving her and loving her movies. And I get what happened. You're going to have to wait. Hold on. Wait, I got my bag tag. Oh, I got my bag tag and I stand in line to check my bag. Now, this is a crucial moment because I had strategized with my friend Ryan on the way to the airport. There are a couple of things that could happen. I could check my bag and my plane will take off as normal and I'll go on my plane and my bag will come with me and I will go home and I will live happily ever after. Or what could happen is I could check my bag and then end up having a canceled flight and then be without my bag and go back to Ryan and Marlowe's, but I'm packed in my carry-on in that event. Or I could just like wait until the last possible moment, like 40 minutes before my plane takes off to check my bag and wait and confirm that there's going to be no cancellations and check it then and know that I'm going to get on my flight, but run the risk of the bag line and or the security line being much longer than anticipated and then being late for the flight that would have taken off anyway. So we decided, all right, I'm going to commit to checking my bag. We're just going to pretend that I'm taking off. So I wait in line. We're checking my bag. Delays are happening. And I get up to the front and there's been like a change from an 11:30, 9 a.m. flight to like a 2:30 flight. So I get up there and I ask her, what are the chances that my flight's going to get canceled? She can't tell me. She does bag check. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get out of line. I'm not going to check my bag. I have a couple more hours to decide. And I loop my way around to Agent Assist of Delta to ask, what are the chances that my flight is going to be canceled? Would it be better? Because when I was getting my bag tag, I was offered to give up my sleep seat voluntarily for a later date. Like maybe that would be better if I can get out in a couple of days and be rebooked and have less of a potential headache. So I stand in line, and if you've heard about these lines, they're ranging in time from 2.5 to 4 hours. I was in line for about 3 hours, and just when I'm like five people to the agent, I get the cancellation notice. And I'm so grateful because I didn't check my bag, and I was so close to the agent, so it's perfect. We're always looking at the bright side. And she is able to rebook me in 2 days on a red eye. And I was like, you know what? Great. Like, I don't have high expectations. I know it's a shit show over here. So if you can just get me home soon-ish, fine. It was still a one-way flight. That's a blessing. Some of my friends, I had one friend that had 4 stops. And she even let me pick what seat I wanted, aisle or window. And I said, window. I pee like a racehorse. So I was really grateful for all of that. Was honestly way beyond what I expected. And yeah, perhaps I have low expectations, but you're going to do what you're going to do. You gotta look at the silver lining. So I get out of line and I wait for Ryan to come back and pick me up. And then it come back to pick me up to host me in his house that he didn't anticipate for 2 more days. Seriously, these people are angels. And that's when it hits me that I'm not going home and I'm not going to see my baby and I'm not going to see my husband for a couple of days. Hopefully in a couple of days I will see them. And being an introvert, like I'm an outgoing introvert. I'm really great at making friends. I can be a party. I can be fun. But I'm expending that energy and I need to come home and I need to rest. And especially with something like this, where it's an extended period of time of being on and then a period of time being on and not really having the alone time that I anticipated, I kind of unintentionally, subconsciously banked my energy. So I was like, all right, I'm going to be gone for this many days. And every day I was doing what I needed to do to save enough energy and steal enough alone time to make it through the week fine. And now what's happening is I've used up all of my banked time and emotional energy, and I've got 2 more days where I'm pretty much running on empty. And so I can't cry at the airport. I mean, I can cry at the airport, but I don't want Ryan to pick me up and there's mascara all over my face. So I'm sucking back my tears and The next 2 days were great because I got work done and I got wonderful coffee and I got to spend extra time with my friends and I got to bond extra with the people that I loved, and multiple more flights were canceled and I got, like, corporate came over for a talk with at our house with, like, just us because they're all friends, and then I got drinks at one of their houses with everyone, and it was invaluable time, but I was really struggling. And what made matters worse was that my anxiety medication, I had one dose left, which I was trying to save for. It was supposed to refill on the day that I was getting back. And I was just going to pick it up the next day. But now we don't have that situation. So it was perfect. I was going to take my meds on the plane because I get, like, nervous around travel. I was going to come home, go to sleep, next morning, wake up, go to CVS, pick up my meds, and we're fine. But now we have this to contend with. So we're transferring my medication to Utah. Utah can't transfer it back because Utah law. That's another funny thing. Whenever we're in Utah and something funny happens, like when it's regarding alcohol or medication, the people behind the counter just say, it's Utah. So, yeah, I was having a very hard time. And since I just didn't feel safe to cry, not for anyone's fault, but like I'm not in like my safe room where nobody's listening to me, nobody's hearing me, nobody's around, there's nobody that I have to worry about. I just didn't feel safe to really cry and let out everything that was going on. This, you know, the overwhelm of the week and missing my child and missing my husband and missing being home. So since all of those emotions were stuck inside me, all of those really, really bad anxiety symptoms started popping up instead. The aura migraines, the aphasia, the lightheadedness, the like regular anxiety symptoms, the not being able to eat. And that was a challenge to work through, especially on the day that I ended up actually leaving. But luckily, Tuesday night, my flight went on without a hitch. It was a red eye. I slept for 45 minutes. I came home. I took a 4-hour nap. I slept for 12 hours last night. I took another 3-hour nap today. And so we're slowly catching up. I'm so happy to be home. I'm so happy to be with my son. I'm so grateful for Marlo and Ryan for taking me and for being such awesome guests despite so many people getting last minute cancellations on their flights. So if you weren't watching my stories, that's everything that happened. But I do want to talk about a lesson that I think I've pretty much learned, but a lot of people haven't. And it does show up for me a lot. The fact of it makes itself known to me often, and that is the unending positivity that I have. When I was in eighth grade, I got most optimistic. And that is what I saw. Let me preface this by saying I was very lucky. I was very lucky. I had a house to stay in. I had people to pick me up. I had food to eat. I didn't have to stress about spending the night at the airport or, you know, buying very expensive Ubers or buying really expensive flights. But I would like to believe that if I were in one of those situations, I would have handled it the same, because challenging situations like this have happened in my life enough times and I've seen myself respond to them enough times to know that I'm pretty resilient when it comes to this. But I saw around me people who were getting their flights canceled and their ends of trip weren't going to plan, and everything else, like, it became a domino effect with plans they had that now that had to get canceled, and then other arrangements had to be made, and then people couldn't, you know, figure out the fact, lots of, okay, shit's happening. basically. I'm not going to edit this podcast. I'm too tired. Shit's happening and people begin freaking out. It's like a few things go wrong and they just like suck up and panic. And when you get into that state where things go wrong, and instead of going with the flow, you try to force against what's happening or wish against what's happening or ruminate on everything that's going wrong, when you do that, you're making the experience worse for yourself and you're missing out on all of the potential blessings that there are around you, and you're wearing yourself down when you could just immediately train yourself to be like, all right, this isn't happening the way that I expected. What's next? How do I need to pivot? How can I be resilient in this situation? How can I change my attitude and my outlook? Instead of yelling at the Delta agent who also doesn't know what the fuck's going on because everyone's confused, maybe we can say, all right, this sucks. What are my options? And move forward. I was on the phone with my dad when I came home and he had heard that my flight was canceled. My dad's a funny person. Part of the reason why I'm very passionate about not putting people in boxes is because my dad is so out of the box. He's like, he has an accounting firm that he made, like built from scratch. And he's also like this funny, like artist. Like he's an artist and he is a very like strict father, but he also has like huge problems with authority, specifically cops, wildlife people, and like FWC. And he is a hunter and a fisherman and a diver, and he's so many things at once. And he was on the phone with me and he said, what did you say? I think it was, honey. And I had told him, like, I wasn't freaking out. I was just like, you know, I knew this, like, this is happening and it sucks. And I just really miss the baby and I really miss Robbie. And I just wish I could be home. And he said, go with the flow. Just go with the current. Don't fight it. Go outside. Look at the mountains. Take a deep breath. It's all going to be okay. And he's always said things like this throughout my life. And I just think that's so beautiful. It's so simple. The beautiful ocean metaphors. If you didn't know, if you didn't grow up around the ocean, there are times when the current in the ocean can be so strong that you are pulled away and you can't really swim against it. And the water's kind of taking you up wherever she wants. Or more sinister, the current is acting in such a way that it doesn't look like there's a current and it doesn't feel like there's a current in the water, but slowly and surely you are being taken away. That's called an undertow. And when you are in a rip current or an undertow of any kind, the worst thing that you can do is turn around and swim to shore, because you're not going to swim to shore. It's whatever's happening around you in the ocean is way too strong to allow you to swim to shore. So what you're going to end up doing is swimming and swimming and kicking and paddling to shore, making no progress and just wearing yourself out, so that even if you could make it to shore, you've already lost all of your energy. What you're supposed to do is gingerly swim parallel to the shoreline until you get out of the area of the rip current. And by allowing yourself to be swept by the rip current, navigating slightly with your arms and legs to make sure you're staying parallel to the shoreline, you're eventually going to be spit out of the rip current and able to swim back to shore with all or most of your energy intact. And that's what he was telling me to do with this situation. the airlines, the internet outage, everything going wrong. That was the rip current. And I could have fought against it. I could have sat and moped. I could have been angry at the situation and frustrated and just thinking about how things could have gone differently and ruminating on everything that's going wrong. But that wasn't going to change the fact that I wasn't on a flight. That wasn't going to change the fact that there were no flights for me. That wasn't going to change the fact that it was going to be 2 days minimum until I could see my baby and my husband. But what I could do was say, all right, this is the rip current around me. And fighting against it, getting upset about it, what's the point? It already happened, and it's happening, and it's out of my control. And I'm not going to steal my joy, ruin my joy, ruin my energy, ruin my mental space because of that. But what I can do is say, all right, everything's canceled and shit's hitting the fan. What could this be a blessing of? What opportunity could lie here? And listen, I know this sounds like so much easier said than done. And of course, this doesn't apply to every situation. But if you're able to train yourself over time, it's not easy. When something goes wrong, to shift immediately, as quickly as you can, that mindset from, oh, I'm so angry this is happening, to, all right, what could the blessing be here? Your life's going to be a lot easier, and you're going to see a lot more beauty. And let me tell you what the blessings were. I was able to go outside and stare at the beautiful mountains. I was able to get in and out for the first time. I was able to spend extra time with my friends. I was able to spend very sacred and important person time with corporate. I was able to get extra work done. I was grateful in that moment to look back and be like, oh, that's why that little voice in the pit of my stomach was whispering, go to Marlowe's and cancel your hotel, because now you have a place to stay and you have fun people around you making lattes and dope latte art. And you have a bed to sleep in, and you have food, and you have your friends. I got to go on a beautiful walk around the neighborhood at twilight and look at people's yards who had the most beautiful flowers blooming of lavender and tarragon and, you know, peppers and like the biggest cucumbers they've ever seen. And in those last 2 days that I was there, I had two choices. I could mope. I could be upset. I could be frustrated. I could be rageful at the situation and waste those two extra days in a beautiful state, in a beautiful home, in a beautiful area with beautiful people. Or I could have said, this is out of my control. So how can I roll with this? And this has been the theme of my year: more flow, less force. Where today can you see where something may not be going our way, or see where we want something to happen and we're forcing it to work in a certain way, and it's like putting a square in a circle? Where can we instead say, this isn't working, I'm going to stop. This isn't working, I'm going to pivot. This is not easeful. And this isn't going the way that I wanted, or this isn't flowing appropriately, or this is like really sucking the life and energy and life force out of me. I think this is time. This is a sign to move on, pivot, and change my perspective. Where can you do that today? Because not only is life going to be easier when you're able to do that, but what you're doing is you're living with life. I sound like a psychopath. I know. I wasn't planning on making this podcast until I was in the shower 15 minutes ago. Well, 33 minutes ago. You're living with life. And what I mean by that is, the more you are able to take cues from the situations and people around you and circumstances around you and flow with those and accept the, this isn't working, I'm going to move on, or this is working, I'm going to lean in, or this is sucking a little bit more out of me than I anticipated, and this was my dream, but I'm just being told it's not working, I'm going to release it. The more that we're able to take those cues and move accordingly with those, the more blessings that we're going to see, the more easily we're going to flow with life, and the more success we're going to see. Because as we're listening to the cues of life through our circumstances, we're allowing energetic space in our emotions and our mind and our life for what is meant to be to come in. So stop forcing. That's the lesson for today. When things aren't going right, stop forcing, stop ruminating, stop being aggravated, because all of that pushing and frustration against what you wanted, that's blocking you from the blessings that could be coming in, or blocking your view from the blessings that are coming in. And that's not how we want to live. That's sad. That's sad. So that's my rant for today. I know this was a little all over the place. I had to get it out. So this was a little therapeutic for me. I was unable to write in my diary. And I'm still catching up on sleep. I think I will be 100% tomorrow. In the meantime, I am still in my raccoon phase, which is when I have decided, which is when you come back from a period of prolonged stress or non-normalcy, and you just have a deep urge to eat like shit, sit on the couch, and veg. And the reason I call it raccooning is because you basically eat like a raccoon for a couple of days until your soul feels better. And what do raccoons do? Well, they go into the dumpster behind your local bakery and they eat the bag of bagels that are one day old that were tossed. Or they go outside of your local grocery store and they eat the last three noodles of a pasta salad that someone tossed. Or they go into your dumpster and they lick the melted remnants of the ice cream tub that you threw out last night. Or they eat the pizza crust that you didn't want, that you left in the pizza box and you left outside. That's raccooning. And right now I'm raccooning. And I had a fat Chick-fil-A today. And I'm going to probably try to have a frozen pizza tonight. And it's my anniversary, actually, which I also completely forgot about. And so maybe Robbie's also going to make me something fun. That's where I am. Thank you for listening to whatever this was. And I will be back to hang out with you next week.
I hope you enjoyed the wisdom, knowledge, and camaraderie that was shared today. If you enjoy this podcast and hanging out every week, make sure to subscribe to this show so that you never miss an episode. And if you really want to make my heart sing with joy, take a couple of minutes today to rate and review this show. In doing this, you're exposing the show to others that are just like you and just like me and would benefit from the information shared here as well. If we're not already connected, you can follow me on Instagram at woowoobestie_Susie, S-U-Z-Y, where I share more about my plant magic journey, spirituality, and knowledge about essential oils. I've also linked our Woo Woo Bestie Facebook group below if you're not already a part of it. It's a safe space for seekers of wisdom and those anywhere on their journey of spirituality. Ask your questions, share your moon rituals, learn from the collective wisdom of the Woo Woo community. All are welcome, and I would love to see you there. I hope that you have the best week ever. Until next time.